This is the 12th of October, 1961. Chapel service today is being brought by Dr. Shriver.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Our Father, we recognize that Thou hast called this nation in which we live to a position of responsibility and opportunity. We recognize this morning, our Father, that Thou hast blessed and guided this nation in so many ways throughout its history. We at the same time, our Father, confess in shame the evil in our history. We confess in shame our unworthiness to be called a Christian nation. And we would ask this morning from us as citizens of this nation to take away all pride that cripples, all greed and injustice, and to grant each of us a spirit of unselfish service. Grant to us, our Father, a love of Thy Son that may be shown abroad, that His name may be glorified among the nations. For we would ask in that same name. Amen. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Today is Columbus Day. As a young sailor, Christopher Columbus heard many conversation over the mysteries of the Western Sea. And in the midst of the conversations were hints and rumors which beckoned him onward toward the rising sun. It was August the 3rd, 1492. Columbus set sail with 87 other sailors aboard the Santa Maria, the Pinta, and the Nina. On the 71st day out, land was sighted. It was Friday, October 12, 1492. There were three other trips of exploration and discovery made by Columbus, and on the second voyage, his flotilla was enlarged to 17 ships and 1,500 men. His very definite discovery strangely increasing the courage of those who could not be bought by any price for that first voyage. But sandwiched between these red letter days for Columbus were some very ordinary days, even some letdown days, days when his men threatened riot and mutiny, days when food and water were low, days spent in chains when court favor was against him after the third voyage, days without the mobs heralding his discovery. Edmund Stanley, now professor of homiletics at Union Seminary in New York, says in his sermon, The Peril of Ordinary Days, that the letdown experience is a common, if not the most common, experience of life. There are many truths in this sermon that Dr. Stanley has preached, and I am following, in essence, his main thought pattern. After an ordination, after a graduation, after a wedding, a promotion, after an A in archaeology, After a call to a church field which is loaded with tremendous possibilities, after a successful summer school session, after such days as these come the humdrum days, the ordinary days, with the tremendous letdown. And it is merely a truism that some people have a tremendous difficulty in adjusting to these letdown days. In fact, some people become so miserable that they only crave those hours of excitement, and they rush hither and thither attempting to find the cool breezes of Glorieta or Ridgecrest. And some strive for the center of life stage, where they might take ego-bolstering baths every day that they live. Yes, there are moments in the spiritual experience of every man when God seems very real and very near. But there are other days during which God seems to be far away on a mountaintop. And if a man is tempted to give up everything, it is generally during these days. It's not especially in the moments of extreme crisis looked at in their whole context, but it is rather in these ordinary days, these letdown days, when it is quite easy to lose faith. The wilderness temptation experience recorded in Matthew speaks quite relevantly to this particular point. Perhaps we cannot understand all about this temptation experience, but there does seem to be a true word spoken at this point, at a very definite hazard in our religious journey. In the statement I read a moment ago, the word "then" is used. Then Jesus was led, referring back to a prior moment. Then Jesus was led. Jesus was led after the red letter day of the baptism, after the wonderful experience of, "This is my son, this is my beloved son." And today, the beloved son is in a hot and a dry wilderness. And a different voice speaks, not the voice which says, "This is my beloved son," but, "If you are the Son of God." The seed of doubt. Perhaps you're really not God's son. Yes, the peak days indeed come. The days of climactic dedication in the area of vocation. The day of commitment to a seminary education. The day of successful completion of all the requirements for the BD degree. The day when your first child is born whole and sound. The days of inspiration, the days of mountaintop experiences, days when you feel like you're on top of the world and nothing can conquer you, and your faith is easily come by. But then appear blue Mondays, or blue any days, days which seem to pile up on end, one upon the other, uninteresting days, drab days that flood in upon you. And these are the dangerous days. As long as we stand in moments of extreme crisis, as long as we seem to have a battle right at our fingertips, somehow or another, eventually there is called up within us a particular hero, and we find the courage that we need for that extreme crisis. Days when death comes to the immediate family. every day we read in the newspapers or we hear stories of some of our friends who have had such moments of crisis in which they have found abounding strength. No, it does not appear that these days of extreme crisis are the days of peril. For the days of peril are those that stretch out like those 40 monotonous days that the scripture describes spent in the wilderness. Days which have no air conditioning and no background music, such as Hollywood always has. Days which have no T-bone steaks or homemade ice cream. Days that require no extra special oomph. Then temptation comes. And these days are sure to come. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted. He had just been inspired. This is my beloved Son. He had just committed himself, and now he is in the wilderness, tempted, wondering whether or not he is. Is it too surprising that this happens? Jesus opening the door to the possibility that he is the chosen one, and then immediately the temptation that he is not to be less than the chosen one. True in our case as well. We could perhaps avoid in part the ordinary days and the perils that are inherent in those ordinary days by simply avoiding any extraordinary days, by simply avoiding committing ourselves to any ideal whatsoever. For we would not be tempted to betray, we would not be tempted to reach if we simply grovel along the lowlands without ever lifting a foot to the mountain path. Such a man does not fathom this experience of Jesus in the wilderness. For when anyone sets out with a high purpose in mind, temptation appears in his pathway to compromise. And let us face facts this morning. Evil is entrenched in this world in which we live. So entrenched that when you move out toward the mountains, you are bound to suffer headaches and frustrations. And some days you may even wonder whether God is real or not. And if he is real, you may wonder about the days when God hides, as Dr. Sazu states. But one might ask, as many others have, can these days lead me to a closer walk with God? These days of changing diapers and washing dishes, these days of crying children and burned toast, these days of incessant telephone calls and ringing doorbells, of declining irregular Greek verbs and reading thousands of pages of parallel, is this the life for a child of God? And many people think not. And so they run headlong from one exciting experience to another, hoping to elude those ordinary days of washing dishes and reading parallel. But there is really no escape. And the devil simply enjoys a loud guffaw. And he continues to make you think that you might even break the monotony of those days. As Jesus is tempted to break the monotony of those days, turn this hill into a bakery. Do some skydiving. Admit I am boss and the world is yours. attempts to do that which is sensational to avoid the ordinariness and the monotonous nature of ordinary days. And he even quoted proof texts. But it seems that Jesus himself knew that not even the Son of God can afford such a luxury as that. Inevitable days that are sure to come, but how in the world to meet them? Jesus does not meet them with a spine tangling or tingling experience. He does not meet them with a dogmatic statement, "See here, what a great miracle worker I am." He does not meet them with the impassioned prayer of the Garden of Gethsemane. He merely meets them with simple scriptural statements, probably statements that he had been taught as a young boy. He puts his hands upon old principles and guideposts, principles to which his life had been geared and would be geared. Man does not live by bread alone. Don't tempt God. Worship God and serve Him only. In the midst of our ordinary days, the response must not be a search for a soul-shattering experience of God's presence, but on the other hand, simply an expression of faith in simple acts of obedience in the ordinary routine of life. Simple acts of obedience, even if we do feel that a minister of God should be above such duties. To extend kindness, whether or not it's thrown back in your face, to show mercy and to give service, whether or not it is appreciated, whether we feel like it or not. I doubt if Jesus felt like the Son of God on some of his ordinary days, days when he was tired and thirsty and hungry and troubled with the crowds, days with doubts flooding in upon him. He didn't feel much like the Christ, and it doesn't matter too much how we feel either. You will say, if you haven't already said, that it doesn't feel much like a child of God taking final exams over what you've already valued, judged to be useless material, living on a meager budget while you attend to your schooling. It doesn't feel much like a son of God attending church history lectures on Tuesday morning after a very full and straining weekend. The point is, it doesn't matter too much how you feel. If the Christian faith depended on how you feel from day to day, it would be full one minute and dry as dust the next minute. What matters is that God has chosen you as one of his children. Has chosen us as his children. So then we trust him and we obey him as a child, even when we don't particularly see exactly where it's getting us. And in this instance, light breaks into the ordinary day, and God's presence is a religious fact, known. For God makes his presence known even in the ordinary days. As W. H. Auden has said in For the Time Being, in the meantime, there are bills to be paid, machines to be kept in repair, irregular verbs to learn. The time being to redeem from insignificance. May we pray. Our Father, we ask that thou wouldst grant us courage and grace and common sense as we live these days. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.